gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello everyone, this is Oliver Newman, All For Of, A Fan's Perspective 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And I'm a proud member here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. And on tonight's show, it's going to be an interview, and it's going to be with Corey Johnson, one half of The Usual Suspects, and that is Suspects with a Z.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I'm glad I did, in all honesty. I've seen you live, Corey. You know, I don't want to be messing up anything.
It's best not to. Nah, I'm only joking. I'm not as bad as everyone makes
that. Yeah, well, I've known you for a long time, so we can have a bit of banter and stuff, and it's all good. Thank you very much for taking the time out this evening.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome.
I've been wanting to get on here for a while now.
Yeah, you have, in all honesty. But I'm a difficult man to pin down, so...
It's all the book sales that you get, man. We don't know you anymore.
I've lost my roots, haven't I, really? You know, back in the day when we used to chat at wrestling shows, and now... And now I'm above and beyond it on already. But in all honesty, it kind of should be you in that instance. I've seen how many promotions you work for, and I've worked for in the past, and I'm sure you will in the future.
I'm hoping to get more this year.
Talk us through your first day at training.
Oh wow!
I think you might have already, but
it was a Monday night, and I think it was again November or December. But I'm adamant it was the December. So December the 12th, might have been a Monday night in 2010.
Wow, you've got a great memory.
So just finished work and get home, get changed really quick, ring my mate, where are you, we're going. And turn up to the FCW training up the stairs. And I'm like, you know, peak, you know, getting that feeling like I can hear people, you know, warming up. And so I look through the door and there was no ring. So I'm like, this is wrestling training. Where's the ring? And I walked over to this guy that I've recognised that I was talking to on Facebook, Lee Massey. I was like, am I in the right place? He's like, yeah. So I started checking, you know, training and stuff with my mate. And learning to my first session was just rolls, front bump, back bump, side bumps. And that was it. And I left there feeling really like shit. I was just sore.
Was that on like a bunch of mats?
Yeah, just like, it was like black foam mats.
Yeah, because I remember...
Foam mats in my life.
I remember covering a AWW training session, and it was basically the ring was the mats. There wasn't actually a ring set up, so yeah.
And in my first session, I'll never forget about the people that were there. It was Don, which is obviously, what was his name? The guy that, I don't know his shoot name. I wrestled him in a tag match at Youngblood. Carson Bailey,
yeah.
Yeah, there was David Kelsey, which is obviously Charles Kelsey, and Christopher Drew.
Okay.
And I carried on with his training, but in my first sessions, like, they were there, and I was like, yeah, cool, man. Like, so they were doing all these moves and that, because obviously it was way advanced than me, obviously, being at my first session.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much my first session, just rolls and bumps with Lee Massey. Surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
Lee was obviously the big guy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that big. And that was pretty much my first session. I just got there thinking I'm in the right place. There's no rings, you know. On the other side of the hall, there was a judo class going.
It's interesting who you started with to how things are now, isn't it, really? Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I haven't got like, you know, the best, you know, schedule I've got at the moment. I'm sorry, that I want, but mm-hmm. I'm just like really happy with the way things have gone.
Yeah, I just mean in terms of obviously you were training with Carson Bailey, and then you've had a match against him at Youngblood, and then you and Nate have been are now part of the Drew dynasty,
So it was crazy though. Is I've worked against Dom. I've had some, back then in like 2012 when I was doing Slam or whatever, when I first started Slam, I brought Charles Kelsey in.
Mm-hmm.
So now I started working with Charles Kelsey, which then we brought Drew in, and I was having matches with Drew. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I've got these guys a job, and these guys were at my training classes well advanced. And by then, I'd already, like, you know, I'd been on shows for Slam for 3 or 4 months before bringing these guys in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Like, it's just mad. Like, you never say bye in this business. It's always a see you again.
Yeah.
I've learned that just from little things like that. And it's just crazy how much talent that, like, or I've worked with and who have gone on, like, to working with me again or doing some sort of how I've met, you know, work with them in the ring.
Well, just, you know, just mining your story, Corey, in all honesty.
Oh, yeah, I think I met you, was it PPW, West Bromwich?
Yeah, way back when, so, you know, that
2011
was...
2011 times.
Yeah, and then obviously 7 years later. What were your thoughts on your trainers?
Okay, at first, you know what, I can't really, I say trainers and that at the time. Before, when I first went to the first session, I showed Abbas that I was serious about wanting to be a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, I did the first session, learned to bump. And then, when I got to Abbas's house, we'd move things out of the way, and, like, Abbas would lock up with me, you know. We'd do, like, you know, waist locks, wrist locks, wrist lock reversals, you know, lock-ups, chin locks, you name it. Just stuff that we could do, like bumping around and wrecking his furniture we was doing. So Abbas, for the first, you know, 6 months of my wrestling training was the biggest influence. Lee Massey at FCW was great. For a guy who was like, you know, 30 stone or whatever he was, he actually taught me to sunset flip.
Why?
So I always respect him for that. Paul Sinclair. With my, like my technical at the time, you know, the basics, the headlocks, the wrist locks,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that kind of stuff, Paul taught me. And then back then as well, say it again, Christopher Drew and Charles Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
I'd watch them and learn off them, and then they'd help me out, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that was pretty much about it with that. And then I did a bit of training at Mad Dogs. I thought that was great at the time back then. The sessions that I did anywhere else was all just great. And then obviously the person who's trained me the most, and I will always say it, is Leighton Cole, Luke, from mm-hmm. Slam.
Yep.
He took me under the wing when I wasn't ready. He had trust in me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously that time he seen me, you know, working with one of his trainees. He then obviously put me in the ring, and he took me under his wing, and it's been great since then. I mean, I've been in the ring with a lot of great people that I've learned up as well. Even people such as Johnny Rose, that's
yep.
the name that goes back, John Stallard. And you know what? A lot of people don't like his style or whatever, or his character or whatever he does, but
mm-hmm.
my positioning in the ring and where I should be at what times and what sides I should face is from Johnny. Like, I know this, what, even character work is a, you know, he's a Brummie bloke or wherever he's from, and he does the American gimmick well. So that was pretty much about it with my trainers, and obviously I've learned most of what I know on the job.
Like I said, Corey, you're fantastic at setting me up for cheap plugs regarding my book. Johnny's another guy that I wrote about in the British Wrestling one, so I completely understand where you're coming from in terms of character, and in terms of his matches, they were always entertaining in one way or another, so I can see what you mean in an instance, really.
And there was another guy, obviously, early on in my career. A lot of people are going to be surprised that I'm saying it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I was back in, like, end of 2012, throughout 2013, I was very close with Marshall X.
Okay.
And Marshall, like, he'd watch my matches and he'd give me feedback. And at the time, like, because I'd worked with him a year previously in a match that I shouldn't have been in,
mm-hmm.
because I put myself in it basically to sell tickets, then I've worked him a year later where I've got a little bit better.
Yeah.
Obviously, I took a lot on the chin from him. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just learned that way, and I was always grateful for it, because he might have been around a little bit longer than me. He's had a lot more matches. He's in great shape. And I didn't really ever see him have a bad match.
Mm-hmm.
And even people such as, like, you know, watching Pete Dunne and Ryan, they used to run the NSW training school in 2012, and I couldn't keep up with it, man. I had a job. My partner at the time was pregnant. And I used to turn up there, it was based out of the AWW, and I just couldn't keep up with it. Like, even Ryan and Pete, just watching them, and just little things, you just learn. I'm one of these guys who could probably learn more from watching than doing.
I think, you know, much like the guy that you like in terms of your favourite wrestler, you sound like a student of the game, Corey.
I just love, I love watching, and, like, sometimes I'll watch and I'll take notes. Mm-hmm. I'll be on my phone. I'm sitting in my bedroom at the moment, and I'm sitting next to the pen and pad, and as I watch, I'll write it down what I want to learn, and then obviously I'll YouTube it, get it back up, and then I'll bring it up. And even now, the way I look at it is, you never stop learning in this business. It doesn't matter who teaches you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said it, like, it's a saying that I use myself. The only person that can ever tell you you're really ready and you're never going to stop learning is Vince McMahon. Because he's the biggest name in the business of all time, in my opinion. Do you know what I mean? Like, he runs the business, he is the business. So if he says, okay, you can't learn anymore, in my eyes, you can't learn anymore.
He's definitely been the most successful person in the business, hasn't he? So.
You've got to respect that. Like, if he was to say to me, okay, you're ready, mate, I'd be like, yeah, thanks. Like, finally. You've got to learn more. Okay, Serge, you know, what do you want me to do? What have I got to do?
Yeah.
But so I always tell people, like, as well with training, like, I started off on a lot of, like, family shows, like, you know, the camp kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it wasn't so much wrestling they wanted to see. It was just yay, boo, chicken, clap, clap.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I can wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think I can. So, like, obviously, there's that transition as well. And you got to be thankful to all your people that you've learnt off to be able to get from one to the other in the transition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that was about it with my trainers, to be honest. Look, honestly, the guy that I've learned the most off is Leighton Cole, Luke Dutton,
yeah.
Sam Mona.
Yeah.
And I said in every kind of interview and that I've had, without him, I probably wouldn't be a wrestler at all. So, that was it.
Absolutely. I got the feeling that at one point then when you were saying, oh, you know, I think I'm a good wrestler, you was waiting for me to verify that as fact.
No, I don't expect it. Call me the shits, man. I don't mind. Just be nice to me if you're going to upset me and buy a t-shirt.
Fair enough. So what are the thoughts and memories of your debut match? I think we might have already discussed. Is this the one with Ronin and the tag match?
Yeah.
That'd be the match, wouldn't it?
Back then it was great. I mean, I video recorded it on my phone. I thought it was all right. I showed it to my mates. He says, you know what? You carried that match. I was like, really? He says, yeah, you don't start working the crowd. The crowd, like, it's like, you know. And I'll never forget looking over at the, what do you call them, wings on a stage?
Mm-hmm.
I look over into, like, the wings of the stage, and I see Luke, the Leighton Cole. And he got his thumbs up as if to say, you know, well done. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm working.
Yeah.
And it was lucky because I had to work one side as well. And I didn't do much. And what I did was, you know, all of the things that I knew I could do. And that was my first memories of it. Like, you know, I thought it was good. My mates thought it was good. But then, like, now I look back at it and I think, shit. What the hell was I doing? You know what I mean? And then I feel like, I didn't even get a ring name. I was just part of a tag team, the Golden Boys, and it's just like a thing that all the camp companies have used in the past, you know what I mean? And we were just one of them because it was at a theatre doing a family show, I'd be with another young lad.
Yeah.
You know, we were called the Golden Boys, and it was just, everyone I thought was really good back then, I look back at it now and I think, what the, you know?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I think there's worse names to be called in wrestling. Definitely tag team names. You know, if
Kota could be called the usual suspects.
Yeah, I was going to say that. But if Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega are called the Golden Lovers, I think you're doing okay if you're called the Golden Boys. In all honesty.
Yeah. This is Andy Johnson. and Shed from UK Wrestling Media.
Listening to Broken But Glorious.
So, if you wanted to talk about the companies you've worked for, really, and how did you get involved in each? Obviously, we know about the Slam Wrestling story, but some of the other promotions, and your new level and your new scene wrestling that you talked about, but some of the other promotions you've worked for, how did those debuts and that come about, really?
Well, the first ever... I never took my first booking outside of Slam. So obviously I was adamant from that time that Slam was my home.
Mm-hmm.
That was my home promotion, you know. My my first memory of my first booking outside was... I think it goes back to probably the February to March 2013.
Mm-hmm.
It was for Pro Wrestling Evolution, or Pro EVW. So I think it was in... What was it? Gloucester.
Okay.
Cheltenham. And it was in a church hall, like a youth club kind of hall.
You're religious, Corey, man, admit it.
Oh, man, I'm the devil's child. Like, what you see in my character now is me. I am a full-on dick.
I wasn't going to say anything.
with my first ever booking, I travelled down with Marshall X. And I replaced somebody, I couldn't remember who it was, and he got me on the show, and I had this match with him, and it was the same match we had 2 weeks prior, or 3 weeks prior, move for move, and it was probably about 8 minutes long, and that was my first booking outside of the company for them. It was probably the setup, like, I got there and it was like stuff I'm not used to, like, I look around and... At the time, I've got a pair of kick pads and kick pad covers on, and I'm looking around. There's guys with boots on. They're in great shape. They're singlets. Like on the first few shows, the first show I wrestled for, on the first ever card that I was on, I was a bit intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Because I looked at the talent that was on, and I think in my first show, Eddie Ryan was on.
Yeah, 5-star.
Jason LaRusso, Justin Sizem. Richter, which is obviously, what's his name again now, the lad that lost all the weight from, and he trains at FCP now. Anyway, he was on Richter. Who else was on? But anyway, I got there and the setup was different.
Mm-hmm.
The music and stuff was from backstage. And there was a screen. And I shit myself when I seen this screen. I was thinking, what's that? So there's a computer screen.
Yeah.
But then I seen the laptop, and then I followed the wires leading out of the screen and left the entranceway. And on the entranceway was a hard cam.
Okay.
So we sent a live feed to backstage for the boys to watch, and basically for them to get in touch with the referee and say what they want and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And I wasn't used to that. I was just used to walking out of a curtain or walking out of a door straight to a ring with a bit of music.
Mm-hmm.
and working.
Yeah.
And that was, I was a bit intimidated because, like, I'm shitting myself thinking, look around, Corey, like, I am the bottom of the food chain here, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I went out, back then it was a decent match, probably the best match I had at that time. Got back, had some decent feedback about it. There was obviously certain things I could pick up on. I took it all on the chin and, you know, did it. And that was the first ever company and the first ever booking that I had for Pro EVW. And I'm trying to see what came after Pro EVW. Oh my god. Obviously, I kept doing Slam and Slam got really busy. Ah, here's a good story for you, man. After that, it was. After that, there was a company set up in Tewkesbury called Tewkesbury Championship Wrestling. And this story is just like. Got to the first show, and it was basically a show put on by the Slam Academy. And he's the guy that was running it at the time, I can't remember his name. His trainees.
Yeah.
And the only trainees from the Slam Academy that went was myself, my friend Alan, who I got into wrestling, who helped set up New Scene Wrestling.
Yeah.
James Foster, he's a young lad, and Eddie Woods. Now, Eddie Woods had only been training, say, 2 weeks.
Jeez.
And we thought, you know what? He looks like Ryback. We've got to get him on the show. He looked like Ryback, and was like, yeah, okay. So I went in with a tag match. had a tag match with them boys, and that was basically our match for our academy done. And we left the rest of the show, and we got to the show, and I'm only like, back then, I'm only like, still again, 5 or 6 months in on shows. And I just, I got back, and the attitude of people just flipping stunk, man. Like, none of them come up to us or shook our hands, but they must have thought that it was legit academy versus academy, and that it was real. And after the academy show, the Slam trainers at the time, which was Scotty Wildside, Leighton Cole, and Tim Burns, offered a free seminar to these other trainees. And these other trainees have wrestled on a show in front of family and friends, and they had no gear, so they was all wrestling on shows in like tracksuit bottoms, t-shirts that they've written on themselves, you know, kick pads on their arms. I even remember one guy wearing football shin pads as kick pads. And it was just one of those shows where you walked in and you just shook your head and you wanted to walk out when they were on, because they weren't in the gear, like they didn't look like wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it, a guy took a bump in the ring, and one of the other trainees who'd never had a match before tried telling him how to bump. But this, obviously the Slam trainers are there, like, you know, how many, you know, who are you, what do you do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, just, you know, go away now, you're doing our heads in. And then he come to the, about an hour before doors for the main show on the evening.
Yeah.
And I thought I'm working one guy, and the guy didn't want to work me. And I was like, why don't you want to work me for? And he was like, I've got to go home. So I was like, well, okay then. You know, and then I thought, oh shit, you know, I've lost a booking here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm green as hell, and I'm after as many bookings as I can.
Yeah.
And then I went on to have a match with this kid, and he was in like, he was, at the time, I was probably hitting 15 stone, and he was about 6 or 7 wet.
Jeez.
And I got in the ring with him, and he didn't know what he was doing. He thought the whole match that we planned, and me being green, I expected him to, you know, carry us, because I thought he was more experienced, because he'd been doing it for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And so I went out there, and I put the match to rest early, because I didn't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I got backstage, and he come up to me and he shook my hand, and I was like, that was, he was like, that was brilliant, that was brilliant, that was great, that was great. And I was like, no, it wasn't. And I said to him, how many matches have you had? And he said, I've been around shows and on shows and training for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And he says to me, how many matches have you had? And at the time, Slam were running shows every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd obviously had, I'd had the booking at Pro VW out. And I'd probably worked about, in about 5 or 6 months, probably about 25, 30 matches. And he says to me that he only had 4 matches before that.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, just give me my wage to the promoter and I want to go home. So we broke down the ring, got home, and then we got the phone call to go into the show the month after. And I'll never forget this one. This one was crazy. Like, I'm excited to be on the same show as T-Bone and Madman Manson. There was a couple of other guys on the show. And we got there, and we look out the curtain, obviously, as you do. We've got, you know, 5, 10 minutes before the show starts. And there's about 4 customers in the crowd.
Jeez.
And I've just worked Martial X. And I've worked Martial X, and then the promoter's come backstage, and he says to Luke, I haven't got the money to pay you for the, you know, I was relying on the door, I haven't got the money to pay you for the ring. So Luke's at this thing where he looks around at the boys when it's time to go home, like, there's like a little tornado with his fingers, whistles, says, come on boys, we've got to go. And we've done that, and then we started breaking down the ring after the third match on the show.
Oh, wow.
And that was it. And then obviously my thoughts are resting, like, wow, this guy ain't got a clue, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, so obviously that was Pro VW and Tewkesbury Championship Wrestling, which didn't run a show after that again.
It's a pretty cool name, though, to be honest. It's a shame.
Yeah. But you know what the worst thing was?
It's unique.
We found out, like, the day of the show that the posters wasn't done on Photoshop, that he got his trainees to do them out of wax crayons.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was just hilarious. And then from Tewkesbury Championship Wrestling, where did I go back then? I mean, I was lucky enough to work on the first few SWA shows in 2013. I worked for Royal Imperial Wrestling. I've been lucky enough to work for Mega Slam Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
obviously Slam Wrestling. Coventry Pro Wrestling, that's a company pretty close to my heart as well.
Yeah.
I've worked for Subjective. God, I'm saying all this now. Phoenix Pro Wrestling, I've wrestled for. I wrestled Underground Wrestling Revolution last year on the show they did.
Okay.
Another wrestling company that's pretty close to mine as well, I was wrestling for. It's the last year they did wrestling for Daisy Garland.
Okay.
And that's a guy called Alex Talbot. He runs shows just for charity. Like, he puts the shows on out of his own pocket and he does it for charity, all the profits and the money made. Which is really nice of him.
Yeah, fantastic.
I was very lucky as well to work for Ryan Smiles Promotion back in 2013, which was Pro Wrestling Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That was another one that I was really happy to work for.
Yep.
That's all really I can think of.
That's enough, in all honesty. I think you're getting your name out there and around.
I mean, yeah, like now I'm really looking. I also wrestled recently for EWA in High Wycombe.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, man, that was fun. Great setup, great venue. It was fun. And then I had another. I've actually got the chance to work for FCW.
Yeah.
As well. I had the chance to work for FCW in 2000, and I think it was 14. Had a little run there. And then there was another company called Midlands Joint Promotions.
Okay.
I managed to work for those in Tipton.
Yep.
And that's all I can really think of. But obviously I've got some more coming now with, I've just got a year's worth of dates off Phoenix Wrestling.
I'd love to
get back onto with Coventry Pro Wrestling being pretty close to my heart with the gang there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go back there. And then obviously I've got EWA coming back up.
Yep.
I got a few debuts set, but obviously I'm not going to say the name of the companies until they've announced me and Nathan as a tag team. Oh, obviously Youngblood Wrestling as well.
Yep. Don't forget Youngblood.
Yeah, man, that's where I met you properly and we had the chat.
Absolutely.
But you know what? That was fun, man.
What, like, the chat or the promotion?
The promotion?
Yeah, forget the chat, Oliver. You're old news. Yeah.
I mean, I went booked on the first show, and I got there, and obviously I promoted a few events myself.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I gave, obviously, Dan Valentine, you know, details and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He booked us for the second show for a run-in.
Yep.
Where we went in and beat up the two guys who was having, like, the street fight, which then led to a street fight.
Yep.
And then we managed to do the other show, which was the December 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. I enjoyed it because Dan was just so relaxed as a promoter.
Mm.
He wasn't very stressed. It was good. There was a good atmosphere backstage. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I like when I go to bookings or bookings that I take.
He's definitely one of the best promoters I've come across terms of how he is as a person.
Yeah, he's very relaxed.
Yeah, and it's a shame he kind of hasn't been on the scene really since Youngblood's had to cancel some shows. I like this character, and I think he's a class individual really. So
I was a bit gutted because, like, I've never actually had a chance to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of them. But I was about to wrestle next to my high school for NWL. It was a company run by Paul Sinclair at the time.
Yeah.
I can't actually remember what it. National Wrestling Live, I think it was.
I'm not sure.
I've had a chance to wrestle for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I was lucky because I got into it so quick when I do that. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I think what always helped me in a way was I'd met friends through promoting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was good.
We're only an hour and 10 minutes in, Corey.
No, we can speak forever.
I know. So yeah, you're not the one that has to edit this, mate.
No.
Yeah, so where does your name, Corey Johnson, originate from?
Well, Corey Johnson actually isn't my first wrestling name. The name I said earlier was, well, when I first started, was Corey Wandem.
Yeah.
That Corey Wandem was, it was just basically, it was me not knowing what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to be John Cena. Do you know what I mean? But when Luke took me under his wing, he made me want to look like a wrestler. That was the rules. If I wrestled for him, I had to look like a wrestler.
Yeah.
So then I changed the name. Well, Corey Wandem was Corey Wondon came from the lads, you know, my group of lads. Mm-hmm. That was my name the lads gave me, because we'd never played poker, we played pool, we'd go out on a night out. So I'd always do one thing, and it was either do something silly when I went out, when I played pool, hit the balls really hard, or when I played poker, it was just I had one move, which is all in. But basically, I used to rush everything.
Yeah.
And they started calling me, you know, Corey Wondon, because the once I took a black ball shot in a pool game, and it was like a final or some sort. I smashed the black ball, and it went all around the table about 100 miles an hour and went in the bag that I went in. That I wanted to. So that was where Corey Wondon come from.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I thought, you know what, I'm going to be wrestling in front of the lads, and everyone knows that I'm Corey Wondon. So that changed when I got to Slam. I then changed it to C. Ray Johnson. Don't ask why. I just thought it sounded cool. Do you know what I mean? I remember having a conversation with Ryan Smile when I gave him my new ring name. And he says, at first I was going to spell it C-R-E-Y. And he's like, no, don't do that because of Ray Mysterio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, cool. So it was C. Ray, which was C-R-A-Y Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnson comes from my stepdad, which is what, you know, he brought me up. That was my thank you to him, and the fact that Johnson is my brother's last name.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I've carried my brothers in because, and my cousins and stuff, in their last name Johnson.
Yep.
And then I changed it to Corey Johnson maybe in the summer of 2013 when I started getting more bookings.
Mm-hmm.
I weren't happy with C-Ray, and I just thought it was, you know, it sounded crap and cheesy, and I just thought, you know what, my son's name's Corey.
Mm-hmm.
As well. Yeah. My name's Corey, so mm-hmm. why don't I just be myself? Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Like Barney, Corey Barney, which is my real name, doesn't sound too, you know, great.
Mm-hmm.
But Corey Johnson, I thought, you know what, it's got a good ring to it. So obviously I try and carry my, as a thank you to my dad, and, you know, the love that I have for my family,
yeah,
in my last name, and the love I have for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it's a bit hard to explain now, because obviously I've got a daughter as well. And his name's Corey, so like, it's more like I can be myself. Do you know what I mean?
You'll have to add like an initialing Corey, your daughter's Al name Johnson. There you go. Yeah.
I carry my kids with me all the time when I work, when I wrestle.
Yeah.
I wrote the name on my wrist tape. I mean, my gears, you know, it's got their name on it as well.
Yeah.
And their initials and the date of birth. But obviously, like, my kids are like, you know, my world. And when obviously I had Corey, that was obviously why it was Corey Johnson. I took loads of bookings on, and I've been Corey Johnson since middle of 2013.
Yeah, like you said, it's got a cool ring to it, hasn't it, really? And with how you're describing it and what it means to you, it's the perfect name. And with what you were saying from, like, being, you know, to be yourself and stuff, that's where you find success in professional wrestling.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, finding myself is in my character. I don't think I could do that if I was C. Ray Johnson or Corey Wondon.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I haven't given it myself, and that was it. Like, it just really hit home then. And I think the first time I ever debuted, it was for SWA, Corey mm-hmm. Johnson.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, just in closing, is there any social media you'd like to promote?
Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is at Corey Johnson Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And then Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the Usual Suspects is Usual Suspects with a Z.
Of course.
TT.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is obviously suspectsmerch.bigcartel.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's where obviously all your latest merchandise from myself, Nate, and together obviously being the Suspects.
Yep.
And the YouTube channel is coming soon, hopefully, for the video diaries once my laptop is fixed for editing.
Yep.
But yeah, that's about it.
Okay then, I think we'll wrap it up from there.
Brilliant.
So, I am Oliver Newman, author of Fans Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And I'm a proud member here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. And he has been Corey Johnson.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, that's good night from both of us.
Cheers, Ollie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.